In 2020, Emily Pennington set off on an adventure she'd been planning for years, a mission to visit every national park in the country. She quit her job, left her comfortable life in Los Angeles, bought a minivan, nicknamed it Gizmo, and set off with $30,000 in the bank. What followed was a year of isolation. Along the way, a global pandemic broke out, a long-term relationship with her boyfriend broke apart, and anxiety set its claws into her mind. You may remember I spoke with Emily about that journey in 2021. Well, she wrote a book about it, and it came out this year. It's called Feral: Losing Myself and Finding My Way in America's National Parks. We spoke again in February. Emily, welcome back, and congratulations on turning this great adventure into a really beautiful book.
Thanks so much for having me back, Peter. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, so let's start at the end, because the last time we spoke, you hadn't actually finished all of the parks. You had two left. There was American Samoa, which is way out in the South Pacific and was really hard to get to in the height of a pandemic. And then there was New River Gorge in West Virginia, which wasn't on your original list because it didn't exist until January 2021 officially. Have you gotten to all 63 parks at this point?
As of last week, I'm happy to report that I have actually gone to all 63 national parks. I was able to make it to New River Gorge in the fall of 2021 for something called Golly Season, which is this kind of jaw-dropping whitewater rafting festival, which was pretty adrenaline boosting. And then last week I went to American Samoa, and it is almost like a totally undeveloped version of Hawaii with lots of jungle hikes and cool snorkeling and beach stuff.
What was that moment like to land on the island and to realize that you had finally made it?
It was utterly surreal because I didn't even realize until someone from the National Park Foundation told me to go to the visitor center that you can actually get a little certificate printed out by a ranger at the ranger station. And holding this little certificate in my hand felt like all of this pain and triumph and hilarity had somehow been distilled into this tiny little, you know, this little piece of like construction paper. And it was a really beautiful testament to the possibility of doing hard things even when you're scared.
Well, there was a lot of pain along the way in this three-year journey. You wrote a lot about the unraveling of your relationship with your long-term boyfriend who had joined you for a part of this trip. Do you think that traveling with another person on a journey like this in a van helped expose the cracks or the weaknesses in your relationship?
I do. You know, I think that it was a little bit rose-colored glasses of me to think that it was going to be this, you know, nonstop fun fest. And I also think that as anyone who's been on vacation with a long-term partner can testify, that most trips are kind of like a trial marriage. And so as much fun and laughter and, you know, singing weird Flight of the Conchords songs on trails as we had, you know, there also was a lot of tension and there was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety that was partially because of the trip, but also partially because the pandemic made so many of us unable to glean the space that we need from each other in the world by going out and working in coffee shops or, you know, going to a store or going to a restaurant by ourselves.
This breakup also meant that you didn't have a home anymore because you lived with him. And so you had this van, right? But I understand through the book that you felt very unmoored. Talk about how you had to learn how to become comfortable with the isolation of traveling alone, being by yourself.
Yeah, well, I think there's a point in the book, Feral, where I do say something to the effect of the void is the rule, not the exception. It's almost like there's this aloneness that's intrinsic to the human experience. And I felt like when we broke up in Alaska, I was thrust back into that kind of innate solitude that I think it's easy to forget is important to learn how to be comfortable with. Like learning how to sit with that discomfort is a crucial part of life and adulthood.
Well, I suppose it also has to keep you in the moment, right? And I sense in you, tell me if I'm wrong here, something of a Buddha nature. Do you feel that connection to Buddhism?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that I personally have a Buddha nature. I think that might be giving me more credit than I'm due. But I am really drawn to Buddhism. I think there's definitely a thread, especially in Tibetan Buddhism, of kind of the void being this ever-present character in the human experience. And there's like a meditative state that one can get into, especially in natural places. And I think that it can create these transcendent moments that you might need solitude in order to experience.
Hmm. And yet, near the end of your trip, you were despondent. You'd had this solitude, and yet I don't think you were feeling very good. You'd lost your partner, your love. You were miserably anxious. You couldn't sleep. I mean, when this was all said and done, how would you describe what happened to you by the end of your journey?
I think that the book is a really great snapshot for anyone who's gone through a transformative life experience that illustrates how big life changes are never going to be a linear experience. It's going to be weirdly hilarious. You're going to be laughing maniacally, but then you also might be sobbing to your friend on the phone the next minute. As I start to unravel, but then also learn that there is an easier, softer way to go about life and to go about solitude. And so the book ends with this little glimmer of hope in Hawaii, with me realizing that there is a way forward and there is a light at the end of the tunnel if surrender is a thing that I can put aside my ego just long enough to do.
Very few people in the country are able to travel the parks the way that you did. And I have a lot of really practical questions for you, because I know people are wondering. So can we do something like a quick little speed round here?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, here we go. So number one, the best park in the United States.
Okay, if you are willing to go to Alaska and hire a bush plane, I would say Gates of the Arctic. If you want a road trip, I would say Capitol Reef in Utah.
And most overrated?
Most overrated would definitely be Gateway Arch National Park, which is in downtown St. Louis, Missouri, so definitely not a wilderness park. And though it has a lot of unique history, it's kind of akin to something like Central Park suddenly being a national park, so it was not my favorite.
Most unforgettable hike?
I think if you're willing to hike off-trail, there's an incredible range called the Brooks Range in Alaska and Gates of the Arctic National Park. And if you can hire a guide and hike into the Aragetch Peaks, I would highly recommend that. But if you want to stay on trail, I also recommend nabbing a very hard to get but very worth it permit to hike to the bottom of the Grand Canyon on the Bright Angel Trail.
Okay. Van life is less sexy than advertised. True or false?
Absolutely true.
How is Gizmo doing, by the way?
Okay, so I got a new van. Her name is Doris. And so I'm happy to report that I now have slightly better insulation and a refrigerator, but she's still a minivan.
Oh, you must miss Gizmo, though.
Oh, I cried when I sold Gizmo because Gizmo had this amazing personality, even though her transmission went out at 90,000 miles.
Finally, before we let you go, you have done something that just so many people have thought about but never actually got out and did. What's your parting advice for folks who are contemplating something similar to what you've done?
Well, you know, one of the big reasons that I wanted to write Feral was kind of to stick it to this notion that you have to be a professional adventurer or you have to be like a big, burly mountain man in order to do kind of a huge once-in-a-lifetime wilderness-oriented adventure. And I just hope that I can stand as some sort of example that you can be a 5'2" solo female and you can be scared and you can be uncertain and still experience the untrammeled wilderness that I think is part of the birthright of being an American.
Emily Pennington is the author of Feral, Losing Myself and Finding My Way in America's National Parks. We'll link you to our previous conversation with Emily from 2021 at hereandnow.org. Emily, thank you so much. Congratulations on the new book.
Thanks for having me again. This was really great.